Good afternoon. I would like to share with you some of the research we've been doing on creating reduced tillage systems for organic vegetable production. And we are focusing on how we manage cover crops in order to make these zone till systems more feasible. So we know in building soil health that we want to integrate several different practices. Any one of these practices will improve soil health, but it's in the stacking of these practices that we optimize the benefits and increase soil health. And so crop rotations, cover crops, and soil amendments are commonly used on organic farms, but reducing tillage is not. So we wanted to explore how is it possible to integrate, in this case, primarily cover crops with reduced till systems. We're focused on a zone till system. And so this is a fairly conventional system using equipment that was designed in the Midwest for large-scale grain operations. This is a picture of a zone builder. It's designed in order to actually create a vertical slot that's deeply tilled, followed by some surface mixing and creating a better seed bed. And so this is the sort of focus for our experiments, is using this type of a unit. And we like a zone till system for vegetables in New York and in the Northeast because it gives us some advantages over a no-till system by creating a very tilled and disturbed area where the plants are grown, but maintaining an undisturbed area between the zones. And so in that tilled area, we get warming of soils, improved mineralization of nitrogen, a better planting bed, and we can incorporate some fertilizers. And in between the zone, we can maintain cover crops or residue, ideally be able to suppress weeds with that residue and then create a habitat for beneficials, but sometimes we also see problems with pests. But there's challenges. So one of the challenges that we have is that if there's a lot of residue from something like a cover crop, how do we actually get the crop established and growing very quickly? Cultivation can be difficult in that in-row zone, particularly in an organic system. And then in the untilled zone, we can have weed escapes, and if you don't have enough of a mulch present, it actually enhances the number of weeds that appear. So we know that there are challenges in organic systems that don't have herbicides that necessarily to rescue when things go wrong. We need to be thinking about this carefully. So what we have explored is strip planting of cover crops. So in the row, we want to target our cover crops that are leguminous and fixing nitrogen to create a high nitrogen area. And between the row, we're using cereal grains in order to create the biomass needed to suppress weeds and provide some of those benefits to the untilled area. So what our core question was, can a strip-planted cover crop improve the performance? And by that we mean suppressing weeds, supplying nitrogen, and supporting productivity in a zone-till system for organic vegetables. So we used two locations, one in Freeville, New York, which is close to the Cornell campus, and then in East Lansing, my collaborator Dan Brainerd is based in the Department of Horticulture there. Our location is a gravel loam, and his is a sandy loam, and our results really reflect the differences in locations. We had two different years, one particularly dry. We did our tests using cabbage and a mid-season variety called farro. The cover crops we used were winter rye, which overwinters for us to cereal rye, between the rows or mixed, and then the primarily hairy vetch or crimson clover in the rows. And again, these were either planted in strips with the legumes under where the crop would go or mixed and applied. In all of these treatments, we had subplots of nitrogen that we used to side dress just to verify whether or not we were actually providing sufficient N for the crop. What it looks like for us from a management perspective is seeding the cover crops in the fall. Early in the spring at anthesis, we're flail mowing these, dropping that cover crop biomass on the surface, zone tilling after those cover crops have had some time to dry. And then in mid-July, we would side dress our cabbage after planting and then harvesting mid-September. We had several different measures and metrics that we followed over the season. Cover crop biomass and N is what I'm going to talk about today, as well as crop yield. We also have data on weeds, labor hours used for these systems, plant growth over time, but I'm not going to be able to go in economics. So we had two different treatments that represent sort of a high N and a low N reference. In one case, we had hairy vetch, which was grown in a solid stand that we added just to have the highest contribution of nitrogen from a legume possible, and it was planted across the field. And on the other extreme, we used a winter rye, and in this case we actually left winter rye in strips, but we did side dress that particular treatment with nitrogen because it was so low. And so this is just a picture of what some of these cover crops look like in the field. You can see in the upper the winter rye and crimson clover combined, where mixed or in strips, and then below the winter rye and the hairy vetch. It's a little bit harder to see the hairy vetch, but at the end of the season, that vetch will be climbing that rye, which does facilitate mowing and management. So I'd first like to go over what kind of cover crop biomass we got in these systems. And what's interesting in the bottom line is whether we planted in a straight mix or we planted them in strips, we had about a similar amount of biomass. So the New York data is from the upper two graphs in year one and two. And you can see across the bottom we have the various treatments, just a straight rye that was planted, rye vetch that was in a strip, versus rye vetch that was mixed, then the rye clover in strips and the rye clover mixed, and then the vetch treatment. And so that will be standard across the graphs that I show in the next slide as well. And basically, you can see the amount of legume biomass that we had in the season. This was basically sampled just before mowing, as well as the cereal biomass, the grain biomass from the rye. And there wasn't a great advantage in New York with the strip planting. There's no difference as far as biomass. In the sandy soils in Michigan, they did have some differences that played out later in the trials. When we looked at the amount of nitrogen that had been in the soil as a result of having that legume present, what was very interesting was, in this case, you can see we looked at in those plots that were mixed cover crop, so the legume was spread out across the whole plot as opposed to concentrated in the row. So vetch, as our standard, with the highest end, which is that blue bar all the way to the end, and then rye where it was just in a strip. You can see there's a range of nitrogen that we're able to provide. Now, these levels of nitrogen are taken at the point of planting, and they are low. They're not very high at this point. But you can see that in the case of the rye vetch, that was the only place where we saw a significant difference between whether you planted it in strips or planted it as a mix, that the vetch really is driving the system. And so having the vetch concentrated in the row resulted in a higher nitrogen than that we were measuring. When we look at the cabbage yield over time, our fresh market cabbage, again, this was the farrow. This is presented in tons per acre, and we have the same cover crop combinations across the bottom. In this case, you also see where we did the nitrogen side dress. So the light blue bars represent no nitrogen applied as a side dress, followed by the darker blue bars, which was nitrogen applied. If we focus on first the upper two graphs, which was, again, New York, you'll see that in both years, the vetch, and the first year was a dry year. So our yields were definitely lower in the drier. But in both cases, our solid stand of vetch, the high end sort of control for us, actually support us the highest yields. And in those cases, the treatments were not responsive to added N. So we were providing sufficient N under those seasons conditions and in that location by just using a vetch cover crop and zone tilling into it. On the other extreme was the rye. By itself, and so that's at the far left side of the graph. And the light blue bar is with no added nitrogen, and you can see the distinct benefit of providing a side dress in this case. Our side dress material was a blood meal that was applied, providing 60 pounds of N, and that was actually banded alongside of the crop. And so there was a definite impact, and so we knew that the side dress was actually affecting crop growth. In general, however, with all of the other cover crop combinations, the side dress didn't make a tremendous amount of difference. It certainly did optimize or sort of provide a bump in some cases of yield, but we're still running through the economics on to see if it was actually worthwhile. What's interesting to also note is that for all of the cover crop mixes, whether they were strip planted, for both of the mixes, whether it was strip planted or planted as a uniform mix across the field, there was no difference. So planting in strips did not result in a benefit that was observable for the cabbage yield. And that was true for the rye vetch cover crop combination as well as the rye crimson clover combination. The rye clover was a difficult cover crop to manage, and in dealing with managing cover crops in organic systems, one of the challenges is synchrony at the time of killing, because these cover crops do not always mature at the same time. And so the crimson clover actually was probably a little bit further along than we would have preferred in its maturity at the time of termination, whereas the vetch was actually at an optimal termination time. And so I think that we actually had more lignification and sort of woodier stems and a loss of some of the availability of the ant in that crimson clover. And you look at the Michigan data in a sandy soil, and you can see that there was absolutely no yield if nitrogen was not applied in that condition. The field just did not have the same fertility level or retention of fertility, and so only where we're side dressing, certainly in year one in a dry year, that darker blue bars is the only place that we actually saw yield. But a similar pattern of no benefit to strip planting prior to a zone till system. So in conclusion, we found that the strip planted provided limited benefits. And so to do this, you know, to strip plant a cover crop requires some modification of a planter and the ability to actually do those modifications depending on the type of planter that's used for the cover crops. But we do know it's concentrating our cover crops, our legume cover crops in the row did increase our nitrogen additions, and perhaps under different season and different year that might have had a benefit. And if it doesn't require a lot of extra effort, it may be worth pursuing. And we also know that it could minimize the amount of residue in the zone of where we're planting. But as far as the yields with cabbage, we didn't observe any benefits really to strip planting. The rye vetch combination out-yielded the crimson clover for the reasons I described before. The vetch provided significant nitrogen when it grown alone prior to doing zone tillage. And it was interesting because we had not expected to see that much of a benefit, but vetch is a problem for us in the area if it's not managed at a timely fashion. We get some seed set and hard seededness that has growers nervous. But if killed in a promptly and early, and what we've done is mow twice in some cases, and we get a really nice mat of material that can be actually planted into quite easily. And that while the side dress in some of these cover crops didn't actually have a big input benefit in New York, we certainly saw in sandier soils that the side dress remained important to making the system function and provide a good harvestable yield. So at that, I'd just like to thank USDA and the Organic Research and Education Initiative for the funding for this, as well as other sources. So thank you. Any questions?
I assume it takes some time to improve soil quality.
Yes.
Does the impact of reduced yield change over time from year one to year two?
Some of the measures that we actually can quantify very quickly, like aggregate stability, is something that we've seen within one season, and after one cover crop, we can improve aggregate stability. So that's one that's fairly easy to measure. Longer-term ones that are more difficult to measure, like mineralizable nitrogen out of organic matter, those take longer to develop. One of the benefits of the unit we use, the Zone Builder, is that deep shank. And so in vegetable systems, compaction is a primary limiting factor. And that shank, we use it deliberately because it alleviates compaction in the subsoil to improve drainage and allow the crop to actually forage for water and nutrients deeper in the profile. So instantaneously, that once we've done that, we can actually see that have a legacy effect over multiple years. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.